When our kids were growing up, especially our oldest son, Andrew, there would be times when we would be having intense fellowship because, you know, Christian families, they don't have fights. They just have intense fellowship. And we would be having intense fellowship, and he would look at me and accuse me in a loud voice, "You don't care about me." And in that moment, if it didn't come out of my mouth, it certainly went through my head. The litany of all the things I had done for that boy. What I really wanted to say was, you know, I was there when you were born, and I saw the pain that you put your mother through. And we kept you anyway. We've changed your diapers, we've fed you, we've provided for you, we've given you clothing, we've given you food to eat, we've gone to your stupid baseball games that are hitting off a tee and nobody even scores, but we've gone to all that stuff. We have been there for you. I can't believe you're saying that we don't care. Pause that for a minute. Audience participation time. What is it that makes you feel cared about by someone else? What is it? What are those times? What is that act or that that time when you feel cared about by somebody else? Love, but specifically, what expressions of love? Involvement, if they're involved with you? Yeah, somebody asking how you're doing? Words of affirmation? Hugs? Comfort? Okay, things that you done for you without being asked? Recognition? Good, all of those are wonderful. And all of those are good ways of showing that you care. Now, raise your hand if you think that litany of things that I would have wanted to tell Andrew and probably did sometimes would have convinced him that I cared. No. You see, all of the things that I said were true, but it wouldn't make him feel cared for. You see, helping someone to feel cared for is not a matter of facts, not a matter of logic, not a matter of explaining the things that you've done. You know, Andrew is not going to respond, "Oh, Father, you're correct. You must care for me." He's not going to say that, is he? Because feeling cared for is an emotional heart experience. It defies logic oftentimes, but it's an expression of love that helps us feel like we matter. We can say that it shouldn't be that way, but it is. I often hear this in relationships. "You don't care about me." Parents, teens talking to parents, like Andrew did to me. Parents talking to teens. Or grown parents talking to grown children. Or spouses talking to one another. And they're saying, "You don't care about me." And oftentimes, the other person is trying to show care, but it's not working its way into the other person's heart. It's a very common theme in life. And when a person says that to you, "You don't care about me," what you do next will determine whether the relationship gets better or worse. Because it's a cry for wanting to know that that person is valued, wanting to know that they matter to you. If I see it as an opportunity to understand what's going on with that person, to reach toward them, to discover how I can show that they care so that they feel it, and I touch their heart, then the relationship will get better. But if I see it as a problem to be solved, as a chance to prove something to the other person, a chance to show all the things that I do, then this high emotion interchange will lead to a worse relationship. And so the choice is ours. Now, the hard part is usually in these kinds of situations, we've thought that we've cared and we've done a lot of things. And our tendency is to get defensive and get angry. And so it degrades. And so we have to answer the question, which do I want? Do I want the relationship to get better and respond appropriately? Or do I want to be right and prove myself and the relationship get worse? Let's talk about that. This is week four of this relationship series that we're calling This Can Be Us. The first week we talked about conflict and how to do it well. If you don't know how to fight good, get the CD. Week two, we talked about commitment. Last week, we talked about contentment. This week, we want to talk about caring. And I believe this is one of the greatest things that you can do to make your relationships better, healthy, and strong. And here's a guarantee. If you will do what we talk about today, others will have to intentionally refuse your care. They will have to, because they will know that you really care. They, in order to push you away, they will have to intentionally decide they want to push away, because by doing what we're going to talk about, you almost make yourself irresistible. You make yourself like a magnet that pulls another person toward you. So let's talk about it. If we want to have good, healthy relationships, we need to practice how to care for people so they feel it. Number one, the first practice is to depend upon God. We need to depend upon God. There are unalterable equations that we can't bypass, and one of them is this. You can't give what you ain't got. That's directly from the Hebrew. Second Schaefer, I think. You can't give what you don't have, right? And so if you don't have love in your tank, you can't give it to somebody else because you can't give it. Now, we try to convince ourselves that we can, and so we operate. We think we can do relationships without fully depending on God, or we're just neglecting depending upon God. But if our emotional tank doesn't have anything in it, when it comes time to try to care for someone else, we've got nothing to give. And so the other piece of this is, if we're not depending on God to fill our tank, to calm our concerns, to give us peace and fill us with His love and care, then we will not have the emotional security to be able to respond in a way that will express care to someone else in difficult times. There will be a defensiveness. Now, did you notice in that scenario with Andrew, my immediate response was defensive? What do you mean? What do you mean you're not care? We don't care about you. And, you know, here's all this stuff. That's defensive. That's when I take offense at the person saying, you don't care about me, instead of recognize it as a red flag that something's going on with the other person. One of the mantras around here is, it's not about you, right? Say that with me. It's not about you. So when the other person says, you don't care, it's not about you. It's about what's going on in their heart. And the only way that you can see that is to have this deep dependency upon God. We can't care appropriate for others in our own ability and strength. 1 John chapter 4, 19 says, we love because He first loved us. Now, what he's saying there is the only way that we can truly love other people and express that love is when we depend upon Him. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. And we've talked about how God is love. Everything's in the context of love. And so, as dearly loved children, he says, do what you've experienced with God. Now, if you haven't experienced anything with God, you can't give it to other people. He says, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us. And then Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. When those situations come, pause and depend upon Christ within us to respond in a way that's appropriate. It's if we try to do relationships without depending on God, we will make a mess. because we don't have it within us to love people in certain situations. Some of you have been trying to do relationships in your own strength, and you've run out of the resources, and you desperately need to turn to God and allow Him to give you the love that you need. So that's practice number one, depend on God. Practice number two is to get your focus off yourself. Get your focus off yourself. Here's a video that is an example of these first two practices. Depend on God and get your focus off yourself.
But Danielle, his wife of just this morning, we have an incredible story of perseverance and the bond shared by newlyweds. Doctors gave Matthew Davis a very slim chance of survival after a motorcycle accident left him in a coma. But Danielle, his wife of just 7 months, refused to give up on her husband. Vanita Nair shows us how this couple has been defying the odds ever since. Vanita, good morning.
Good morning. Doctors told Danielle Davis her husband would probably never regain consciousness and that she should consider taking him off life support. But she chose not to listen to that advice. Matt Davis was never supposed to ride a bike again.
Wait, what do you think?
I'm loving this.
Or climb walls.
There you go, you don't need a pad.
Or do push-ups.
Holy crap.
Simple things that once seemed impossible, because nearly 4 years ago, this is what Davis looked like. He was in a coma, suffering from a traumatic brain injury with multiple broken bones. The result of a motorcycle crash. The doctors gave his wife a grim prognosis.
He literally drew a graph on the board and said, you know, 90% of people with this injury never regain consciousness. Finally, the doctor said, you know, if this were me, I would want my family to pull the plug.
You fought for me the whole time so hard.
Yes.
And if you're really thinking of it, that's the reason I'm here today.
Shrugging the doctor's advice, Danielle took Matt home to care for him. And after 3 months, he awoke from his coma. But it soon became apparent he had lost all memory of his wife.
It was like, someone like, that's your wife? I was like, yeah.
For Danielle, it was bittersweet.
When I realized he doesn't remember me, he's never going to remember me, those things are gone.
Simple acts most people take for granted, like being able to walk, drive a car, or decorate a Christmas tree, now have new meaning.
You're good. Hold on to me. Don't get nervous.
Push the heel.
While insurance pays for his rehabilitation, Danielle says Matt needs additional intensive long-term therapy in order to make more advances. She started a GoFundMe page to help with those out-of-pocket costs. The Davises say their faith has been important.
The doctors, they know what they're talking about, you know, and it's good advice. And it's good counsel, but that doesn't mean that they're right. If you believe in God, then believe in God. You know, take what you know to be true.
He put her in my life. So God knew what he was doing. So.
As of this morning, more than $15,000 has been raised through their GoFundMe page. Once Matt is fully mobile, the Davises say they want to move into a house in Georgia and start raising children. They also want to have another wedding to replace the one that Matt forgot.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite parts of the story when they said, that's your wife. He goes, yeah. Matt and Danielle, but what makes this story so extraordinary to me, even more extraordinary, they'd only been married 7 months.
And they had only really known each other for about 2 months before. So wow. This was all wow. Sort of fast-tracked.
Boy, she's an angel.
Talk about for better or worse in your vows.
That's right, yeah.
It's a really good example.
Thanks.
Thank you, Vanita.
Thanks, Vanita. This morning we have an
Depend on God. That's the only way that she could have done that, isn't it? It's the only reason she would have done that. Depend on God. And then get the focus off of yourself. She had to have her whole focus on what was right and what does he need. Because for all that period of time, she was getting nothing from this relationship. It was costing her, and she was getting nothing back. And then even after he woke up, she was getting very little. Because he couldn't remember. So they didn't have a relationship. They had to rebuild everything. She took her focus off of herself. That's what it takes for us to respond in care. Was she expressing care to him in a way that mattered? Absolutely, she was. So can we. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. Circle that word nothing. Nothing, not one thing from selfish ambition or conceit about making it all about me. But in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Put them first. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, so it's not that we don't look to our interests at all, but it's rather we look to the interests of others first. We put others above us, which is exactly what this young newlywed did. It's one thing to care. It's another thing to care when it costs us, when there's no guarantee of anything coming back to us, especially when that cost is putting ourselves, our needs, our wants, our hopes, our dreams on the back burner in order to put somebody else on the front burner. You see, my observation is sometimes what people call caring is even selfish. I see it in different places that I'm involved in. Somebody will serve another person, but it's because it makes them feel good. And when that person doesn't respond the way that they think they should, or it's not enjoyable anymore, then they move on to something else. You see, it's not really about that other person. It looks like it is, but it's not really about that other person because it's still about me. It's so hard for us to get our eyes off of ourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 8 gives us some details about what it looks like to get our eyes off of ourselves and onto someone else when it talks about love. It says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. You see, that interaction with Andrew was about me accomplishing what I wanted to accomplish. It is not irritable. Yeah, anybody want to drop their head in shame at that one? It is not irritable. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing. It rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things. It puts up with things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never ends. You see, that's what we see in that young woman. The ability to take her eyes off of herself and put her eyes on someone else. I put a bullet point there. Selfishness is the downfall of relationships. Selfishness in any form. When I'm about myself, when I'm focused on myself, what I want is more important than what is best for somebody else. Selfishness, the self-focus, is the downfall of relationships. Even if it doesn't look like selfishness. This isn't getting any easier as we go along, is it? Depend on God. Get your focus off yourself, and then number three is to express care to others so they feel it. Express care to others so they feel it in ways that make them feel valued, that they matter. When I was growing up, and we would get together with my mom's family, all my aunts and uncles on my mom's side, somebody always brought black olives. Now, we never had black olives at our house. I don't know why. Probably because they cost more than 2 cents and my parents didn't pay any money. They couldn't grow it in their backyard. But every time we went to a family reunion, there were black olives, and I love black olives. So I would look forward to having those black olives. Don't you love black olives? I mean, how do you not like? And you know what is kind of a nice treat is popcorn and black olives together. And so, the first year that Sheila and I were dating, on her birthday, I borrowed a friend's apartment. We were both living in the dorm. Borrowed a friend's apartment, made her this wonderful chicken dinner with vegetables, made her a pineapple upside down cake. Can you believe it? I started a tradition I didn't realize I was starting at the time. So now there's been 38 or 40 pineapple upside down cakes. That's not anything to do with the story. I just wanted you to know that. Made all of that, and to top it all off, I thought, I'll give her black olives. I mean, I thought we had talked about this. I brought the black olives out to her, and I say, with a smile on my face, with thrill in my heart, because I thought, this is like the greatest treat that I would have when I was growing up. And I had them in my hand, and I looked at her face, and she went, I'm going, what is the problem? Why? And she says, I don't like black olives. I said, I thought you said, I like green olives. She said, black olives taste like dirt. I said, how can that possibly be? If you gave me black olives, I would feel deeply cared for. Now, I think I did get a little bit of credit because I was trying hard. And I haven't yet gotten her to eat one black olive our whole marriage, though I keep trying. I thought I was expressing care in a way that would matter, and it turned out exactly the opposite. And that's what we often do. Our human, 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 says, "In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him." Notice that word sent. He sent his Son. Why? That's what we needed. That's what would cause us to feel care from God. Because we were desperate without God. We had no relationship and no possibility, and we're headed for hell. And what we needed was the presence of God. And so he sent himself in human form as an expression of his love for us. Romans 12, verses 9 and 10. Let love be genuine. Genuine means doing for the other person what they need or want. Genuine love. Abhor what is evil and hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection, deep affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. In other words, find out what the other person, what makes the other person feel cared for, and do that. The human tendency is to care for others as we want to be cared for. If it means a great deal to me, surely it means a great deal to other people. When I counsel couples that are getting married or are married and they're having struggles, and they'll be sitting there and they'll say, "You don't care about me." And the other person goes, "Yes, I do." "No, you don't." "Yes, I..." "Stop it." And I have to, and I walk them through. I say, "Why don't you feel cared for?" "Because he never does anything that matters to me." And I'll go, "Why don't you ever do anything that matters to me?" Knowing that, says, "I do things that matter to her." And he'll start talking about all the things that he does that he likes. And she'll say, "I don't like any of those." "What do you like?" And she starts talking. I said, "Tell him, not me. I'm not going to do it. You tell him." And then I say, "Could you do that?" And he says, "Yeah, I could do that." "Would you like it if he would do that?" "Yes, I would like it." "Okay, go home and practice that." And if they come back, they go, "Oh yeah, it's so much better." Why? Because they're trying to read each other's minds, and it never works. It happens with children and parents. It happens with spouses. It happens with friends. Our natural tendency is to care for someone in the way that we would make us feel cared for. They've written whole books about this. If you want some extra reading material, The Five Love Languages is one of the great books that helps us understand what the different ones are. Another one for specifically for couples is His Needs, Her Needs. And in this book, the author's contention is the top five needs for men are the bottom five needs for women. And exactly the opposite. So men can try all they want to meet these needs, and the woman will go, "You don't care." And they're exactly the same. It's understanding. So we have to understand. We need to get ourselves out of the way. So the human tendency is to care for others as we want to be cared for. The real result is, you don't care about me. God's model and principle is to reach toward others in the ways that they need it. To reach toward others in the way that they need it. Let me show you another video of an example of exactly this.
I pick up a broken comb, running through my thin gray hair. Though I don't have any plans tonight, I'm not going anywhere. Well, I should have seen this coming.
Come on.
Don't know why I'm surprised.
When the best of us steps up, our nation stands a little taller.
Who said nothing good ever comes from Canada? Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? You know, the young man who came from the basketball court, saw the other young man in the wheelchair, he could have said, hi, how are you doing? He could have gotten all his friends and gone in and played board games with the young man. They could have done, but the kid wanted to play basketball. And there was nothing greater that those kids could have done than to include him. Because by creating all of those homemade scooters, they were saying, you know what? We care about you, and we want to be just like you. You see, that God's way is to discover what it is that makes us feel cared for, and then to do it. So how do we do that? Bullet point in your outline. Watch and listen. Watch and listen. It takes work. And this is where sometimes we get in trouble because somewhere along the line, we think relationships should be easy. And they're not. It takes energy and effort. And so we have to deliberately watch and listen, to study, to see what other people, what other people want or what other people need that will make them feel cared for. And by doing that, we make ourselves appealing in this relationship and draw people towards us. Do you want to know what I gave Sheila for Mother's Day? I've learned better than that. It took me a long time, but I learned better than that. Hockey tickets. I remember when our kids were growing up, Sheila would go to their games and crochet or read a book. She was there, but she wasn't there. When the boys and I would watch sports on TV, she would go someplace else. She would be in another room. She'd go quilt. She'd go shopping. She'd, you know, she'd just do anything. But some alien took over my wife after the boys were grown. She says that it was so that I wouldn't have to watch the game alone. And in all honesty, I think that's how the addiction began. I was there watching. She came in and she was doing her hand sewing and stuff, and she started watching, and then the alien came over her, and she has become this rabid hockey fan. I go to bed early, because I get up early, but second intermission, I'm going to bed. And she goes, how can you go to bed? I got to watch my boys. Going, what are you talking about? And so when it came time for Mother's Day, I said, 20 years ago, it was flowers, it was candy, it was doing the dishes. Somebody mentioned doing the dishes. It was watching the kids. And she said, would you like hockey tickets? Oh, yeah, I'd like hockey tickets. So you know what I gave her? Dishes. I gave her hockey tickets. Now, if I'd given her black olives, would she have felt cared for? No. But because she, though it makes no sense whatsoever, likes hockey, likes Penguins hockey, these tickets make all the difference in the world. Now, how did I learn that? By watching and listening. It was an easy one. But by watching and listening. You see, I've learned that when a person says or shows that they don't feel cared for, it's time to listen and watch. It's not time to argue. It's not time to justify. It's not time to explain. It's not time to try to use words to prove that I love. Because so often it's not about a particular issue that is on the forefront. It's about somebody wanting to know they matter. That they matter enough that another person is willing to take the time to figure out what it is that makes them feel cared for. So once you work hard to recognize what a person really wants and needs, then you do all you can to love the person in that way. Which brings us to the second bullet point. Reach toward with acts of care. Reach toward that. Once you watch and listen, then you know, you understand. You've done. That's the hard work. That's more work than it is than actually doing it, is to pay attention to know what it is they want. And then do it in ways that make them feel cared for. 1 Peter 4:8, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, genuinely, since love covers a multitude of sins. Reach toward the other person with acts of love. Sheila's mom, when they were growing up, wanted to be fair. And so if the oldest daughter of four daughters and one son wanted a baby carriage, all of them got a baby carriage. That's not, and to this day, they laugh about it because it made one child feel cared for. It made the other children not feel cared for. We need to watch and listen. Now, think about your siblings or your children. Would one act of caring cover all of them? Not at all. I mean, with our kids, if I said, okay, I want, you know, as our kids are younger, I want to give them a ticket to something that will, that they would like, that would be meaningful, that they would feel like I was really doing something for them. For our youngest daughter, Amber, when it was sixth grade, she decided while Sheila was gone, she wanted to go to the Nutcracker. Lord help me. It is the last thing. I've seen it a couple of times, and it was twice too many. I know. Now, some of you are going, how can you not like the Nutcracker? Because I'm not you. So, in order to show that I cared, we got tickets to the Nutcracker, and I went and tried not to snore. For Carissa, our older daughter, she would not want to go to the Nutcracker. She would want to go to a funny movie and then stop someplace for ice cream or something sweet. For our boys, it would be sports tickets. Some of their fondest memories are being at a Pirates game. Because with boys, you have to get them side by side because if they look at you, they don't talk. How you doing? Fine. But if you get them beside you, something happens, and if they're not looking at you, they'll start talking to you. And so it would be sports tickets. For Sheila, now this is what's hard, is if you're in relationship with anybody any length of time, it becomes a moving target. Because when we were first married, it would be tickets to the symphony for Sheila. And then as for her 40th birthday, she didn't want a party. She wanted tickets, airplane tickets, to go spend a week with her sister in Phoenix. And now it's hockey tickets. It's not about me. It's about me serving God and others. We have to get ourselves out of the way, and we need to focus on the person and do things that will cause them to be cared about. This is all pretty much wrapped up in the golden rule. I put it in three different versions there. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. In the NIV, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. And the message, which is kind of a conversational version, here's a simple rule of thumb guide for behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you. Then grab the initiative and do it for them. Add up God's law and prophets, and this is what you get. It's called the golden rule because it's gold in relationships. But make sure that you don't take it superficially, because when it says what you want other people to do for you, it's not about the act. What you want people to do for you is to figure out what you like and then do it for you. That's what we have to do. It's putting ourselves in another person's shoes and then care, and then doing what it is that would be meaningful to them. So depend on God for the source. Take our eyes off of ourselves and then do for others as what would make them feel cared for. I'm going to give you homework. This week I want you to sit down with the people in your life, people that are closest, and I want you to ask them this simple question. What could I do that would make you feel cared about? You may already know, and it'll be just an affirmation that you got it. But you may be surprised. But it will give you the opportunity to do something that will cause other people to be cared for. This is so important because Jesus said that life is all about love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And the way that we love is to figure out what it is that means love to another person and do it. It's important because Jesus told us that by our love for one another, people will know that we belong to him. And I guarantee you, if you begin to do this in your relationships beyond our congregation, people will be attracted to you. When you're sitting around the table and people see you and they get a smile, they'll get a smile on herself, on their face, and they'll come over because they know when they're with you that they will feel valued and cared for. It doesn't take much, and it's not expensive, but it's some of the most important things that you can do in your relationships. If you do this, it may be the one greatest principle in all relationships. Would you bow your heads? As we talk today, what is it that you need to do next? And who do you need to do it with most? There may be relationships in your life right now that are struggling at work, at home, or beyond. And this simple principle could be the turnaround. It's work. It takes humility, a willingness to put ourselves second. But I got to tell you, it's worth it. Because the benefits are far, far greater than the cost. So would you, in the quietness, as we close, commit to God? Or this week, or this month, whenever it's possible for you to do it. I'm going to find out what it means to love other people. And then I'm going to do whatever it takes. Would you just make that commitment? Lord, I'm going to find out what it takes. And then I'm going to do it. Lord, we acknowledge that we can't do this in our own ability. So I pray that your Spirit would give each one of these folks that have prayed that prayer your strength, your wisdom, your guidance, your love, that you would fill them so that they can have the ability to see, the ability to love, the ability to not get defensive, the ability to put themselves second for your honor but also for the good of their relationships. Pour your spirit out on them, God. Now I pray that you would walk us through this week. Help us, for those of us who have moms that are still around, help us to honor them. For those that whose moms have passed on, we pray that you would give us moments of reflection and opportunity to remember. And then for the moms that are here, I pray as David did, that you would be with them, give them all the strength that they need in this coming year to be the very best that they can be as your hands, your feet, and your love. Thank you for the truth that we've seen, God. Now, help us to take it with us. We pray in Jesus' name.